Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Hey, good morning, Canada. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show. Hour two on this Wednesday morning, November the 6th, episode 110. Famous number 10s. We omitted Dan Farthing off the top, and Brady missed the two in the number 10s that are in the pre-show. Dan Farthing, we missed that one. So to go along with some of the other greats, Solomon Alamimian when you talk about the CFL, but Ron Francis, Guy Lafleur, Braden Shen, Marcel Dion. There's a bunch.
Steve Nash
came up. He was 13, though, with the Suns.
Must wear 10 with the Mavericks.
Or with Team Canada or something like that. That's Derek Myers, who's in studio, and we are welcomed now by Chris Best, the former Rider, great offensive lineman. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Oh, thanks for having me. Really excited about it.
Yeah, crazy opening. We were in the rollout this morning, just as we went on the air at 10 o'clock Central Time, or Saskatchewan Time, 5 o'clock if you're in Norway, Trent. And we found out during the rollout for Flooring Superstore that Devon Claybrooks let go in BC, and we're going to get some feedback and some reaction from Vancouver here shortly. But Chris, your first reaction when you hear that news, because that's a big shock, sending shockwaves across the country. Not really super surprising, because they had a bad year. They finished in last. The expectations were there with Mike Riley. But I thought they had turned things around at the end of the year, and I thought that had bought in Devon at least the offseason, at least to get to next season.
That was kind of my sense, too, yeah. I mean, like, it was, the team obviously started terribly. There's no doubt about that. They were bad. But, like, and the effort was bad. Everything, execution was bad. Like, it looked embarrassing for a while there. But they really kind of pulled their socks up and got things going as the season went on, enough that I kind of agree with you. I thought a year or two to kind of see how they were going would be enough to justify. I'm not sure, obviously, with Ed Hervey's situation, with all the head coaches out there, maybe something else is happening on the side there. But I thought they deserved nothing, at least a second year to see what they could do in that year two with Mike Riley in year two of that system.
Yeah, I really thought so too.
Well, and one of the things that I've seen, and again, this is pretty fresh. The Band-Aid has just been ripped off here. Fix that. Is that some of the people are saying, well, he surrounded himself with a young staff, you know, and that maybe was his downfall. Well, when he interviewed for the job, don't most coaches lay out their plans, out who they have in mind for staff? So if that's the case,
coordinators, you know?
Yeah, if that's the case, and that's where you're going to hang that on and say, wow, he made the mistake right there, I would have thought that that would have been talked about in his interview process with GM Hervey. So if that's what you're going to blame this on, that's poppycock, because Hervey would have known who he was going to go after for his staff. And now to go ahead and say he hired too young a staff, if that's the excuse that's going to be put out there, that's crap.
Maybe you just didn't think the growing pains be quite what they were, because obviously the growing pains were pretty bad at the start of the year there. Like, we did not see some good football out there.
Personnel. Yeah. I mean, they just, great. You signed $700,000 to your quarterback and you didn't pay any of the guys to protect him.
Well, he's been sitting and listening to our top of hour one and to your thoughts as we go out to Vancouver and join TSN 1040's Rick Dhaliwal. Rick, appreciate you squeezing us in on a hectic morning, I'm sure, for you out in BC. But Devon Claybrooks out as the Lions head coach. What do you make of this first reaction here?
Well, first of all, you guys make great points, all valid. One thing you guys got to realize out here is the season ticket base, the fans, they got to find a way to get people in that stadium, okay? And the owner, he's trying to sell the team. He's got to sell season tickets. I don't see this team being sold anytime soon, but I did hear chatter last couple of weeks has picked up, and I think one of the guys in Saskatoon, Gary Drummond, I think he's one of the guys that's really starting to pick it up in terms of buying the BC Lions. I hear a lot of chatter about him and his interest in the Lions. So there's so many things at play out here. There's the ownership. There's the sale of the team. You know, there's Ed Hervey. You know, there's Devon Claybrooks. Hey, when you win five times, you know, you're 1-10 start, you're 0-10 in your division. Boy, it's tough to sell that to the public. And there's so many things at play out here. But I think the sale of the team, I think David Braley, he's still got his, you know, he still owns his team. And I wouldn't be surprised if we're here 12 months from now still talking about owning this team. But there's a lot lot of stuff going out in Vancouver, and the attendance, the record, the season tickets, the ownership, the sale. Guys, there's so many things going out out here in Vancouver.
You talk about more changes coming. I know you know that ownership situation is part of it, but do you see a lot more changes now coming to the staff? Ed Hervey, is Ed Hervey safe right now? What are you hearing in terms of more changes?
I've heard Ed Hervey safe. I hear the assistants are being talked to right now. I wonder about player director, player personnel, Torrey Hunter. I don't know what's going to go on there. You know, when Wally Bono got all the accolades, and he was a Hall of Famer, obviously, but behind Wally was a guy named Roy Shivers, and you guys know Roy really well. Before Roy came here, it was a guy named Bob Abilovich. These guys went down to the USA. They found good football players. Wally got all the credit, but I'm going to tell you, Roy Shivers and Bob Abilovich, you know what? Right now, the Lions don't have a Shivers. They don't have an Abilovich. They haven't found players down south. They haven't done a good job in recruiting. They haven't done a good job in scouting. And I think that's what they need to improve. You know, Ed Hervey's Ed Hervey. But hire some people that can go down south and find some good football players.
When you think about this head coaching vacancy now, I know you talk about Rick Campbell being high up on that list of replacements. Who else might be high on Ed Hervey's list? We've heard Jason Moss's name come about because he might be let go in Edmonton. Is that a guy that would excite the fan base in BC to be reunited with Ed Hervey, or do we want to move on from Jason Moss?
Okay, look, I think Rick Campbell is going to be very high on the list. He's got a history with Rick Lalisher, the president here in BC. I think they go back to their days in Edmonton. Mike Benavides is a guy I think his name's going to pop up in Vancouver. But Jason Moss is not what the Lions need. Jason Moss, he's not really great for the media. He seems to be cranky all the time. this guy never smiles, ever. And in this market right now, I don't think Jason Moss is the answer. I think Rick Campbell, the way he conducts himself on and off the field, he's good with the media. I think that might be the guy. But I'm hearing Rick Campbell, if they make the changes in Edmonton, you know, it might come down to who offers more money, BC or Edmonton.
Yeah, really. Yeah, and hey, I'm a Jason Moss fan as an offensive coordinator. I think he should be an offensive coordinator. I think that's his lane. I think he could be one of the best in the country and not have to deal with the media and deal with the entire team and all and being the leader, but he could run a really good offense. So I'm with you. I don't think he's what BC needs.
And you know what? You got to be careful with Ed Hervey. You can't just bring everybody from Edmonton to Vancouver. I understand when new GMs get hired, they bring in people that they're comfortable with, but it just seems like all Ed's ever done here in Vancouver is just bring every single buddy from Vancouver. I don't get that. You know what? How about hiring the best person available? You know, it just seems like, okay, you were with me in Edmonton, so you come to Vancouver. I think you got to look outside the box. This is a very important hire for the BC Lions because they can't afford another 5-13 season because they were down to 15 to 19, 1,000 fans. It's going to get really bad here. It's just like Toronto and Vancouver. It's a tough sell. Getting people to BC place is a tough sell. This is a Canucks hockey. Hockey matters here 24/7. This isn't like the Prairies where you guys got great attendance and you know, Edmonton, Winnipeg, Calgary. This is a tough sell in this market. They got to find a way to get the young people to go to Lions games. They're not getting the young people to go to games. It's a big-time problem.
Do you think winning is enough? Like, just having a successful team on the field would start to at least get guys, like, in seats, you know, with that, like, start to alleviate the problem here? Is it just that, or is it more to it than that?
There's more, because go back to 2015. The Lions were 12-6, remember, with Jonathan Jennings. They still couldn't. They couldn't get a ton of people in the stadium. This is a different city. It's a different makeup of a city. Listen, I went to Lions games back at Empire Stadium with Roy DeWalt and Mervin Swerve Fernandez.
Oh, yeah.
I've been a diehard CFL Lions guy for a long time. But this city is a different, it's like Toronto, but we don't have the Blue Jays and the Raptors. But the Lions were 12-6 with Jonathan Jennings, and they couldn't get 25, 30. You know what? It's a tough sell in this city right now. We have our soccer team's got young kids that go to the game. the Lions, they can't seem to get the young people at BC Play Stadium, and that, to me, is a big-time problem. Look, the Canucks have made the playoffs for 4 years. Lions have had 4 years to take advantage of that. It looks to me like the Canucks are going to make the playoffs this year. You know, I know it's early, but once that hockey team takes off, you know, your Lions are going to be on page 700. And that's just not good.
So, you mentioned Empire, though. Like, I remember the games at Empire Life. They were – the atmosphere at Empire was cool. So much different than BC Place. And, like, I'm not sure why I didn't translate. I'm not sure. But, like, I just remember it was so much more fun playing there, you know. It was so much more lively.
But don't forget, in the mid-'80s, Don Matthews, there was Cal Murphy. There were some Western Finals in Vancouver, 55,000, 60,000. Mm-hmm. And the place was packed. And back then in the 80s, the Lions were more popular than the Canucks. But now this team has gone through a really messy 4 or 5 years. But people here want a new owner. But they better realize that if they didn't have an owner with deep pockets, we'd be in the situation Montreal's in right now. The Alouettes, the owners walked away, and the league took over. If that deep, David Braley's got deep pockets. He can hang on to this team. He can pay the bills. And that's important to me. You know, people think the ownership change is going to make a big difference. I don't think so. I think they got to find a way to get people back to that stadium. Now, I thought Mike Riley, holy smokes, that was a great signing. People are going to flock to the stadium. Didn't happen.
I agree with you, Rick. I think it's not only a BC problem, but I think it's a league-wide problem that we're, you know, they need to get younger fans in the door. So I guess my question now is, what next? I mean, we're... you know, just a couple of days away from the regular season. Is this something — I see Ed Hervey's going to talk to the media here in just over an hour. Is this something that we expect to happen quickly, or do you suspect that this could drag on and take their time and wait until, you know, as we get out closer to Christmas time here for a hiring of a new head coach?
I would personally, I'm going to tell you right now, they got to hire the new coach, and because they got season tickets to sell. I think their marketing... I think they're going to roll out their new marketing plan here very soon. David Braley's got season tickets to sell, folks. You know, how about getting Rick Campbell, lock this guy up, you know, pay him the bucks. It's a feel-good story. And then, you know, Ed Hervey's got a big offseason. Ed Hervey cannot afford another bad offseason, because I don't care if Ed Hervey signed a new two-year deal like I heard he did. And because I think that two-year deal is controlled by the BC Lions. Hey, guys, in the CFL... you can't break a contract in the NHL or the NBA, the NFL, but you guys know in the CFL, it's hey, listen, here's the deal. We're making a change, and that's it. But Ed Hervey, this is a big, big offseason for him. I think they got to hire the coach right away and install some confidence, consumer confidence in the market. But if you keep waiting and waiting and waiting, I don't think that's a good idea. But I do believe the Eskimos are going to be after Rick Campbell big time. I do believe that's their guy. If and that's a big if Jason Moss is let go. But I got a feeling Rick Campbell is going to end up in either Vancouver or Edmonton. But I say do it now, guys, because you know what? This team needs a feel-good story, because it's been pretty bad this year. 5 wins, that doesn't do it. You know, attendance is down, season ticket base. You know, when Bobby Ackles was here, you know, Bobby, Wally Buono, Dave Dickinson, Casey Printers, they had this city, all four of them. They had it. And the season ticket base was at 21-22. I can't tell you today if the season ticket base is at 5,000. I hardly doubt it, but I can tell you they got to get back to those days.
Very, very, very great update, Rick. Appreciate this. We'll be watching your Twitter feed closely and your updates on TSN 1040 as this develops. But you're right. Do it quick. Right now, you've got the week, at least. If Edmonton happens to win, you got 2 weeks. Jump start on the Edmonton Eskimos.
Absolutely, guys. Hey, pleasure to be on your show. And don't forget that the Lions gave you your starting quarterback. Don't ever forget that.
Hey. We got you.
Of all the multiple stupid mistakes this organization has done, they handed two teams starting quarterbacks in the last year. Think about that for a second.
I can imagine. We've gone through our fair share of heartbreak over here. So good to have one go our way. We'll take the win. Yeah. All right. Rick Dhaliwal, appreciate this, my man, and all the best out in Vancouver from TSN 1040, joining us here on the program to kick off hour number two, and lots to chew on there. He wants to get this done quick, but they're big on Rick Campbell, and that's, I think, the thing we got from Dave Naylor yesterday. Don't be so quick to just pencil in Rick Campbell's contract at Edmonton. A lot of teams will be hot on him.
There's the guaranteed contract issue as well with that new CFL coach's salary cap. I mean, they're going to have to pay out Clay Brooks and probably his offensive defensive coordinator as well. I'm assuming the whole staff's probably going to go. And so, like, unfortunately, that's kind of a wrench to throw into the works there. You know, it's an unintended consequence, and I don't really like it, but that is something they have to deal with here.
Right.
You are so right. It is an unintended consequence that really, I just really think it limits what we could see on the field, and I'm pretty sure we probably got to go to a break here at some point.
Yeah, we do.
But I want to ask Chris about that and just the effects that has and the trickle-down effect when it comes to the quality of a product.
Yeah, let's get to that on the other side. Our poll question for Capital Automall Universal Collision Center, we haven't really got to today because we've been slammed with the breaking news. And we put up at first, who would you rather see if you're the Riders in the West Final? Because I still want to get your thoughts, Chris, on the Riders finishing in first place. Would you rather see the Stampeders or the Blue Bombers? The fans have responded, 62% say the Blue Bombers. But I want to switch that up, Clark, if we can, for the last hour of the show and for the rest of the day. Did Devon Claybrooks deserve to be fired in BC?
Let's get shafted.
Did he get the shaft? Let's maybe not word that as eloquently as you can, Clark. But I want to find out what the fans think about Devon Claybrooks being let go in BC. Good move or not a good move? Let's get your thoughts on the Facebook wall, too. We'll get to your comments on the other side. And the Prairie Mobile text line is open. I got some texts to get to at 306-840-8777. We'll do that and a little bit more when we come back here to the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Hi, I'm Joshua John Batista. I'm a staff radiation oncologist at the Alan Blair Cancer Center. CT simulators are essential for all modern radiation treatments. Before a patient can undergo the treatment planning process, the CT simulator is the first step. So it allows us to plan and deliver radiation treatments for thousands of patients.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital GMC. We have over 1,000 new and used vehicles to choose from with savings up to $17,000. And for a limited time, we're offering finance rates as low as 0% on new and used vehicles. Buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the Greatest Auto Sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bus down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's Greatest Auto Sale.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Cheers to the 16 guys who never back down. And to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now back to the studio with Rod.
Hey, welcome back to the program. Sports update. The biggest news of the day, Devon Claybrooks let go in BC. The second head coaching vacancy now behind Rick Campbell, who was resigned his position with the Ottawa Redblacks earlier in the week.
You think Chamberlain's not answering calls now?
Holy smokes.
I would not be picking
up
my phone.
It's like cut down day. Don't pick up your phone.
Do not pick up your phone.
Exactly. Winners in the NHL last night, since first time since the early 80s, 81, 82, the Islanders have a double-digit winning streak. They beat Ottawa 4-1. Victor Mete's two goals powered Montreal to a comeback win over Boston 5-4. Auston Matthews, a goal and an assist for the Leafs in a 3-1 win over LA. Winnipeg fell 2-1 in the shootout to the New Jersey Devils. Calgary behind a Matthew Tkachuk OT winner, 4-3 winners over the Coyotes, and St. Louis beating Vancouver in overtime 2-1 on a massive, massive gaffe by the Canucks in that overtime. Just two games in the NHL tonight. New York is home to Detroit and the Edmonton Oilers at 8:30 Eastern. What is that? 7:30 Central Time in Saskatchewan.
This is really killing you.
6:30 Mountain. They're home to St. Louis tonight. Yeah, it is killing me. But that's okay. It's Edmonton home to St. Louis as McDavid, Draisaitl, and the Oilers get underway. Your sports update is for Ballers Rec Room, Regina's newest entertainment destination. So, Derek Myers, Chris Best alongside in studio. You had a question for Bestie that you wanted to get to last segment.
So we have this personnel coaches cap or whatever goes on. So Devon Claybrooks gets fired. Obviously, that's still, I think, filters into some of that.
Yep.
You can only have so many coaches. How much does that affect the guys when it comes to practice, when it comes to preparation, when it comes to just the overall product that we're going to get on the field when it comes every given Saturday, Sunday, Thursday night, whatever, whenever the games are? Because these compounded mistakes, it has to show up somewhere.
Absolutely. I think we limit ourselves by having the salary cap in place. Like, coaches are kind of hard to be fired, unfortunately. It's the name of the business, you know. Like, and we've kind of had a bit of a stagnant coaching tree in the CFL for a little while. Obviously, Kahari Jones out there in Montreal, and Noah Steinhauer and Hamilton, really good finds, basically. But they're kind of internal CFL finds. Right. And we haven't found a lot of NCAA coaches, NFL coaches up here to come help us out, you know. And, like, having this salary cap in place kind of limits us there. We can't really try swing, and we can't afford to miss on these hires, you know. So if you hire the safe guy, you kind of know who's been around, you know. It doesn't necessarily bring you up here, but, like, you know they're at least competent. So that just hurts. I mean, I don't know. I want the CFL to be as good as possible. I want us to have as much talent as possible in the coaching staff. And so when you lose guys like Trestman, and it's been alluded because of the salary cap, we just can't afford to lose these sort of guys. We need to keep these guys around. We need to have new guys coming in and have CFL as kind of a viable way of, like, you know, having some good coaches up here. So I think it hurts. And then going down to the players, you know, like, it just, you have a bad coach, you know, like, it's about 70-30 players versus coaches. So if you're missing that 30% of your coaches, their ability, you know, you're kind of, you're shooting yourself on game day there.
Isn't that funny when you see the progression of a league, or you see the ups and downs, because they're going to go up and down. And Rod, as he says it all the time, the CFL won't die. Mm-hmm. NFL will prop it up. The government will prop. There'll be ways to keep the CFL alive. But in business and in leagues, you know, you're up on the upswing and then you hit the crest and you come back down. But somebody else who's on the upswing, you could be at the exact same spot on the graph, but one's going up, one's going down, and you think completely differently.
100%.
Right now, the revenues are going down. We got to make sure that we're not bleeding out too much money. So we cap the coaches' salary cap for all the teams that are struggling, teams that are doing well financially. Okay, they're not going to be able to spend the money. But if you're on the upswing and you're trying to grow the league, you need to spend money. You need to have young coaches in the game and young personnel so they can get experience. Again, for me, it's kind of the broadcast situation, which I love TSN's coverage of the game. I think they're phenomenal, and they're great friends of this program. But I would love to see a CFL that has maybe bringing a little less money in on the TV rights, because, I mean, the exclusivity TSN gets, they pay for. Mm-hmm. But if you did TSN two games a week, so they're your number one partner still, but you did one game a week on CBC and one game on Sportsnet, so they become partners, and you spread the Grey Cup around every second. So TSN 1 year, then CBC, then back to TSN because they're your number one partner, then Sportsnet, then TSN, you know, and you give them every second year, but you bring in those other players. Now you got three sets of panelists, three hosts, three sets of play-by-play guys, potentially each network having two sets of play-by-play guys because you need a backup, and reporters and sideline hosts. And yeah, and you have all these more people talking about the game. And I think it's the same way in with the coaches. The more people you have associated with the game, the more they're wearing the merchandise, the more they're spreading the message to the kids, the more it's being talked about, and it just starts to flood the market, and that catches on with the fans, and then all of a sudden the game grows.
Absolutely. I mean, more publicity, the better here. You know, know, if you have, like, well, growing up, it used to be on CBC. I remember growing up and watching CFL on CBC, and I really enjoyed it.
2007 Grey Cup.
Yeah. So, like, it used to be a thing, and it was a viable thing. So it really hurts to kind of, like, TSN's been great. Don't get me wrong. They've been really good for us. But I totally agree. It'd be nice to see it on some other networks, you know. I'd love to see if they could roll U Sport in there as well.
Yes.
Because, you know? U Sport, when I was playing over at Waterloo, it was a big deal to be on the score game of the week. Everyone was super excited about
huge.
It. And this doesn't exist anymore. Waterloo had a great year this year. They unfortunately lost this last week. I had to watch it on my phone on a little app instead of watching on TV. And they had some amazing game that should have been on TV, you know. And that's kind of growing the game. Growth in U Sport helps CFL. You know, it's kind of all part of the same problem there. And if just more exposure, more chances, more eyeballs on these things, will lead to a better product in general.
It's huge. It's huge. I mean, we do a good job in Western Canada with the Canada West, but that's only regionally aired on TV across Western Canada, not nationally. Oh, Nelson's comments leaving the screen. I wanted to get to that, Clark, and your comment that you got on the prompter. Can we bring up Nelson's comment about Chris Jones? Here we go. About Clay Brooks. He says, and most new head coaches deserve more than one season. If you look at Chris Jones, his first season with the Riders was 5-13. Clay Brooks was 5-13. Some similarities.
Interesting.
But you look at Chris Jones, he came in and probably said, hey, we're going to be 5-13, or we're not going to be very good. But look, I'm going to have 100 players go in and out. We're going to find the right guys. Yeah. We're really going to sacrifice this season. And then all of a sudden, the next year, there was more wins, and then it was more wins, and then he was gone. But you saw the program, and he was honest from the beginning. I think in BC, you came in, you signed, you know, Mike Riley. You added some pieces offensively in the receiving core.
Raised expectations pretty high.
But, and so I think it's a matter of meeting expectations. And that first year with Chris Jones, I think he set out that, hey, I got to clean this up. So win totals, the expectation is we're not going to win today, but we're going to win tomorrow. And I don't think that was the expectation in BC.
But you know what? Then that again goes back. That's on Ed Hervey then. If that was your expectation to bring in a new young coach, your expectation was to overpay for a quarterback and not surround him with the proper talent. Not the talent on the outside, the talent like the guy sitting on my right. If you don't block for your quarterback in the CFL, you have no hope. And no chance. Offensive line was bad 2 years ago, and it took until partway through the season, Kelly Bates coming in and being a part of it, and those guys getting some more reps. And they had some veteran guys on there, too.
That, like, but, on paper, it looks good, but yeah, man, but they underperformed.
They weren't good, and we knew that going into the season. They signed Mike Riley, and you go, so what? What's he going to do? He's a sitting duck back there. I know that, and I don't know a damn thing about playing football or blocking for a quarterback, but I knew that he was just going to be ground up like like hamburger. Well, how do you blame Devon Claybrooks on that? See. You know that going in. So to me, this is a personnel issue. It's a knee-jerk thing. You can't blame it on his young coaching staff, inexperienced coaching staff, because he would have laid that out in the interview process.
Yep.
I just, quite honestly, I'm not a believer in Ed Hervey as a general manager.
Well, that's
and I haven't been since he was in Edmonton, and I still am not since he was here. And Dolly Wall brings up a great point. Who do they have finding talent? Like, do you think it's any accident that, you know, the Riders now where they are? I mean, we give a lot of credit to Jeremy O'Day, and we give a lot of credit to Craig Dickinson, and that is rightfully so. But some of the guys that are here are Chris Jones guys. Some of the guys that are here, Paul Jones guys. You got to have those guys. And you know, we could talk to our director of scouting here at the Rod Peterson Show, Craig Smith, and he will tell you the same thing. You've got to have people out there bird dogging.
Absolutely.
And you talk to any of the guys, and Chris will talk about this, I'm sure, because he would have kind of overlapped with some of the guys, you know, that Roy Shivers was able to bring in here. The guy was able to find talent at the time. Did it always translate into wins?
He drafted me, so.
But there's some of the guys, that are wearing Grey Cup rings that were Roy Shivers. And Dollywell talked about that in BC. He brought in a lot of guys. Like, who do these quarterbacks? We always said, geez, BC always finds quarterbacks. Who found those quarterbacks, do you think?
Probably
Shivers. Was it all Wally? No. Roy was in the background finding these guys, and you got to have that. So this goes way past, is this Clay Brooks' fault? You know?
Grinders.
To me, it's just knee-jerk. The guy didn't have a shot in there if you didn't give him at least a couple of years.
But you went to two different scenarios, or two different philosophies for one season. You sign guys who are ready to win now, players, but then you don't bring a coach who's ready to win now. You bring a coach who's trying to grow.
Yeah,
and to me,
kind of
they didn't
there.
Match up.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want a team in transition, a young coach, you grow together. But for me, that team that BC put together, that was a team that Corey Chamberlain would have had a better time coaching. A coach who comes in and is really good for 1 to 2 seasons with a competitive team and can manage that locker room. So that's very interesting to bring a young staff. So to me, it seems like what Ed Hervey was doing on paper with the team wasn't on the same page as what he was doing with the hire at coach and on that staff.
Yeah, so it's like he basically got Mike Riley to kind of move the needle and get butts in seats, and then all at the same time it's like, oh, I don't have a lot of talent over here. I need to kind of restock the cupboard. So you're right, they don't really work out the same way. And then you put poor Mike Riley back there, and he just gets shellacked all year. I mean, Mike's a tough guy, probably one of the toughest guys in the CFL, but even he has his limits. So I mean, yeah, basically you saw those two competing narratives, they slam into each other, and it doesn't work out too well for anyone.
And then you blame Clay Brooks.
Yeah.
And then
all right, let's go out to the video chat. We're going to Alberta, and we're going to join Randy Chevrier, the 16-year CFL, NFL, maybe some NFL Europe in there, I think. Three Grey Cups. And looking really good. Appreciate you joining us here. Don't adjust your set. Rod Peterson is not here. He is in Texas in the sun. Who else? Marshall Hamilton's in the sun somewhere. Everybody's away. So Darren DuPont, Duke, and Chris Best with us. So appreciate the time, Chevy, joining us today.
Boys, thanks a lot for having me today. Rod, I'm kind of jealous of him. It's minus 15 and there's snow everywhere in Calgary. So I'm not too happy about this. And I got to work tonight and the roads are going to be terrible.
Oh, Randy, you're in Calgary.
Yes, I am.
Okay, I'm going to be there. Well, I fly out tomorrow. I'm doing the Hardy Cup on Saturday, hosting. And so I'm going to be on that sideline all afternoon. What do I need to be ready for? Because I've done games there at this time of year before. Sometimes I'm just in the suit, and other times I got to wear the full snow suit and long underwear underneath and the whole deal.
Well, I haven't checked the forecast, but there's definitely a ton of snow on the ground now, and it's minus 15. So dress warm. It's Calgary, though. It could change tomorrow. It could change in 10 minutes, and we could jump up to plus 10. That's how it is here. So you never know. Just pack your suitcase full of everything, and you'll be good.
Good. And the ski hills are open, I've heard, or they're going to be open this weekend, so that's exciting. Might make the hour drive up towards Banff. But I want to ask you, and I want to ask Chris here, about the Devon Claybrooks thing. The reaction to Devon Claybrooks being fired. First, I'll get your thoughts on that. What's your initial reaction? In his first year as a head coach, he was a top head coaching candidate after being the defensive coordinator and so successful in Calgary. What's your reaction to just the one-and-done season for Devon?
It's tough. When you see a good guy like that, I played with Devon, and he was a coach while I was in the Stamps. Such a good, hardworking guy, and he really established a really good reputation for himself amongst the players in Calgary. And I think he was primed for that spot in BC. Unfortunately, it didn't work out. I think, like you guys mentioned, there was a ton of expectations. Just the amount of change in the CFL in the offseason. I was skeptical at everything that was going on. And really, it manifested in BC, where you got a brand new coaching staff, a brand new quarterback. You're kind of building a team from scratch, really. And, unfortunately, there's a lot of change to manage. And to manage that change and expect a winning season, it's tough. And I watched a bunch of those games, and they look pretty bad. And you could have had, Tom Brady, you could have Superman playing quarterback. He was getting hit a lot. And you're not going to win when your quarterback's getting smashed. I was surprised midway through the season that he was still the only quarterback that hadn't missed a game with injury. But, that caught up to them. And unfortunately, like I said, I know Devon. Along with Devon usually goes a lot of the staff. And I know a bunch of guys that are there, that are coaching. And it's unfortunate, but it is the business. And, a week ago, I was at the fire hall sitting with some guys. And they said, well, what do you think is going to happen? I said, at the beginning of the year, I would have never thought this. But a week ago, I predicted that Rick Campbell would have been out in Ottawa and Jason would have been out in Edmonton. I think they would have just flipped chairs, and who knows how it can all play out. But it's not just about the coach that you have, but it's about what becomes available. And we've seen it in the past that maybe GM is going to bring in his own guy. It's unfortunate when guys lose their jobs, but that's the business, right? It's the replacement business, as they call it.
Yeah, it really is. So, Chris and Randy, your thoughts. What does this do to the guys in the locker room? As a guy in the locker room, when a coach gets fired after a season like that, when you maybe turn things around, or just put yourself in that locker room. You're Mike Riley, or you're in that locker room. What are you thinking right now, or what's going through your mind?
You're basically wondering if you're an Ed Hervey guy or a Clay Brooks guy. You know, like, who brought you in here? Who's kind of got your back in those meetings that you don't get to go into? You know, you have to make sure, like, you know, everyone worries about job security, especially on a bad team like this. You know, Chevy luckily hasn't been on that many bad teams, but I was on a couple where near the end of the year, everyone just kind of gets a little worried about how next year is going to go. And so if some guys like Mike Riley will feel safe, some of those kind of like back of the roster, those, 42nd, 43rd guy, they're a little more worried about their jobs. They're kind of worried about who brought them in here and whether they got a future next year, you know, because with a new head coach and everything, there's going to be a whole lot of change on that roster.
Yeah, I would totally concur with that. In 2007, my head coach was Tom Higgins in Calgary, who brought me to Calgary in 2005. He had been my coach at Edmonton in 02 and 03, and he was my coach here. And then we made a coaching change right after the 2007 season, and that's when Huff took over. And it was pretty clear. I don't think I was necessarily a Huff guy. But when you're a player, you only have one thing you can control, and that's what you do in the offseason to prepare. You can't control who they bring in. You can't control what they think of you. And you just come in and you put your best foot forward. And luckily for me, through circumstance and maybe some luck, I was able to last a number of years with Huff and hopefully prove that, I was a team first guy as opposed to just being a coach's guy. But you see it. I saw it a lot, guys, really good football players. Just, you know, new coach comes in, new staff comes in, new players come in and just tries to reset the culture in the locker room. So there'll probably be a lot of change in BC next year, no matter who takes over. Some guys might get a chance to audition, but unfortunately, a new coach is going to come in and there'll be changes across the board. And as Chris mentioned, especially in the depth positions, in the locker room, some of the guys that, the high performers, the Burnhams and the Mike Rileys, those guys might not be touched. But for sure, guys that kind of make up the roster and fill out the back end of the roster, there's going to be a lot of change.
Yeah, that's one thing that we know for sure. Lots of change there. Lots of change in the CFL. But we're in the middle of the playoffs now as we get set for the East and West semifinals in Calgary, getting set to host the Western semi against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. How are the folks feeling in Calgary about a Stampeders team who secured a home playoff game? But I think for most, that's a disappointment in Calgary after all the recent success. So what's the temperature of Calgary right now?
Finally.
I would say it's a different attitude than it's been probably last 10 years, where the Stamps have been the dominant team in the West and sort of rolled through the competition. By this time, they would have been sitting guys to heal them up for the game. I would say there's a more sense of desperation. It's funny because obviously hosting the Grey Cup, there's a huge sense of excitement for the event that's going to come regardless of whether the team's in or not. But the underlying sense is that people don't know what team we have here. Is it the team that takes care of business like they used to be able to do almost with relative ease, or the team that it's going to come down to the deciding kick like it was against Winnipeg a couple of weeks ago and it didn't go in their favor. So there's a bit of worry. I would say of all the years that I've kind of been in Calgary and associated with the Stamps, this is the one year where people are like, well, do we have what it takes? The counter to that argument or to that fear is that, Bo Levi Mitchell is the elite quarterback in this league. Mm-hmm. And if anyone could make it happen on any given day, it's him, but he's definitely short a ton of weapons. I mean, this is a Calgary team that lost some key players to the NFL. Thurman, Singleton, Marquette Michelle, a bunch of guys, right? And then you come into camp with guys that weren't necessarily your first picks, and then a lot of those guys got lost to injury. So they definitely dealt with a ton of injury, not unlike many teams in the league for sure. But, they lost their quarterback for a number of games. They some of their main receivers are out. I would say that their running game isn't what it used to be, and they haven't really found the stride with that. So definitely not the dominant Stamps team of old, but definitely dangerous. But I don't think the fans here are used to having a team that's sort of neck and neck with everyone else. And it sure makes for interesting football this time of year, because a couple of weeks ago, watching that Winnipeg Stamps game was a sure nail-biting affair.
That dangerous part does kind of scare me, what Chevy's talking about. Like, usually it used to be Calgary up front, and we were that kind of that dangerous, that second, third team just fighting for our dinner, you know? And, like, in the playoffs especially, you play those games, like, it kind of crystallizes your team. It really kind of molds you as a team, you know? Like, we always, no offense, Chevy, we always felt like, you know, when Calgary's kind of a bit of a front runner, they'd be fat and happy at 15-3 and just kind of resting their guys, and we'd be hungry, we'd be fighting for everything, you know? And, like, we come into Calgary and just get into a dogfight, and we felt in the cold weather in a dogfight, when they've been sitting around for a couple of weeks, we always had that advantage. Now kind of it's flipped over. Now we got guys resting. You know, we didn't play our quarterback last week for good reason, everything, but like now guys have been sitting around, you know, just kind of waiting, and Calgary's out there fighting for their supper. They're getting hungry, you know, like, and they all still got Bo Levi back there, and Bo Levi, you know, as much, it kills me to see it, but he always gives them a chance to win. So like, you know, this could be, Calgary's not the Calgary of past, but to say I'm not scared of Calgary is not true either. That's still a very good team over there.
And it sounds like the start of a good joke. Two offensive linemen fighting over dinner.
Interesting, great stuff. And Chevy, I just want to get a quick touch on this before we let you go. I mean, great stuff after a great pro football career in the three Grey Cups in the 16 years, but a firefighter now, and you're doing some great stuff with the speaking out against bullying. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I got a couple of things going on. Thanks for plugging the Calgary Fire Department on a day like this. It's a little scary to go to work and the amount of car accidents we're going to have to go visit, but that's part of the job. But besides that, I travel across Canada with an organization called Dare to Care, and we do bully prevention talks, mainly in Alberta, but I've been as far as Montreal. I've been down to Cayman Islands to speak, and, you know, we talk about how, you know, I really relate my experience as a teammate and my experience on teams, and how kids can get to their greatness by pushing other people up. Just like, you know, when you want to win a championship, even though you have the best quarterback, you need every guy in the team that does a job for that team to feel like they're part of it, to get the best out of them. And that's kind of what we try to emphasize with the kids, that, you know what, if we build everyone up, if we lift each other up, we're part of a team, we're part of a school. You know, we can reach all our goals. And the other thing I'm doing is I actually joined the Movember movement with the guys on the fire department. This is not a
looks like a little dirt
for me. I don't normally walk around looking like a creep, but for the month of November, I took on the task of growing this trashy stash here to raise some funds. My goal is to raise $1,000. I've got 560 so far. I had to do something extreme the other day. The snow fell. I went on my deck and I did snow angels. And I released that video when I got up to $500. So I've got to up it now. So I'm thinking of either doing an 80s style wrestling promo like the Macho Man, or a polar bear dip to see if I can get to $1,000. So if anybody wants to donate to Movember campaign, which supports testicular cancer in men, prostate cancer, mental health, and suicide prevention, which I know all these issues are near and dear to Rod's heart. Go to Movember.com, type in my name, you can donate to my page, or you can even start your own page. I mean, you should see the looks this thing gets. Whoa, it's going to be a lonely November, boys.
That's perfect for the firefighter's calendar. That's what you need, the mustache on the calendar. Jack Fulton on the comments here. Jack Fulton, who you know. Chevy, been part of our Life Choice Dynamic CFL player program since 2009. A great guy. So Jack watches our program all the
Can
time.
Can I tell one Chevy story?
Of course.
A long time ago. One Chevy story. Yeah. From way, way back. It's a good one. Don't worry. I was coming out of Waterloo. There weren't a lot of CFL alumni out of Waterloo, so I didn't really have a lot of mentors to talk to. And I managed to actually hooked up with the same trainer that trained Chevy coming out of college, out of McGill, Matt Nichol there. And Chevy at the time, he was big time, just coming from the NFL. But Matt got us connected. And just for me to basically just talk to Chevy, just figure out how the CFL works, kind of what I should be doing, what I shouldn't be doing. And he, even though he was big time CFL, NFL guy, he took the time to talk to me, just some CIS kid trying to get into the CFL, explain the situation to me, explain to me how things are supposed to go. And, you know, he really kind of helped me out. And then I saw him 2 years later in the league and on the field. And I was super excited to see him. And then he was a big D lineman beating the heck out of me, too. But it was kind of really nice. Like he took the time to really kind of help me. How did a young guy who had no reason to help me out, and he really helped me out. And it was awesome to see, and I always appreciated that.
Well, man, I appreciate that, Chris. You know, it's stories like that I think make our league special. It is really a small community. And you guys, I was listening before the discussion you had about the CFL before and the things, the ways to make it grow. Gosh, I'm right there with you guys. But things like that where you mentor younger guys and you see them come up through the ranks and then you sit together years later on a talk show reminiscing about the league and you could probably go on forever. That's what it's about. And that's the strength of our league and the people who get it, whether it's the fans. And I had, you know what? I know you guys talk about me like I'm a Calgary guy, and I get it, but I thought my three games in Saskatchewan would have got me a little bit of street cred.
A little bit.
But I got to experience it firsthand what the CFL means across the prairies, whether it was in Edmonton, Calgary, and Saskatchewan. And if we could grow that energy with the fan bases and keep up the camaraderie and the brotherhood that the guys have like we do, whether it's through mentorship, through, you know, giving back coaching and all those sorts of things, that's what grows this league. And, you know, it's my pleasure, man. I know we had the connection also through Mark Killam, who's the assistant coach mm-hmm. with the Stamps. And, you know, Matt Nichol, another mentor of mine. So that's a really great memory, and I appreciate it because, you know, all the years I played, 16 years, you meet so many awesome dudes. I've spoke at so many high school banquets and wound up being teammates with some of these guys, and it's really neat treat. And then to come on a show like this, guys, I appreciate it because it gives me a chance to connect back with the world that, you know, for all intents and purposes you can't play anymore, but to talk about it sure is fun.
Okay, I got one more thing that I need you to do as soon as we hang up the phone. Now, we follow your Twitter account, at Randy Chevrier. It's great stuff. You're pumping that out there. We miss the blog, ridingwithchevy.wordpress.com. It's still linked on your Twitter profile. You haven't updated it since 2014.
Wow.
So I need you to go right now, open up your phone to Twitter, delete that, replace it with a link to your Movember campaign so all of our viewers can go to at Randy Chevrier on Twitter and donate whatever you can, couple bucks, 5, 10, whatever you got to help you get to your goals for Movember this month, because we appreciate that.
Darren, I will do that. I have the link also on my Instagram account, which is very original as well. It's at Randy Chevrier. I make things very hard for people to find me.
Good.
But I will do that right away. I appreciate you checking out the blog. I don't even know what the last thing is I wrote, but I was still relevant in 2014.
You're relevant now still. You still are. So it was a charity event, Tickled Pink. That's what it was. You were talking about that, and you were it's great stuff. Charity. So maybe get back to blogging too, but appreciate the time, and we'll be checking in to see if you're keeping up with your homework here.
Okay, thanks, fellas. Have a good day.
All right, Randy Chevrier, the 16-year pro football vet joining us on the show. We got a break. Back with one more segment and then the overtime. Jeez, this show is really flying by. So one more segment where I promise we'll talk about the Riders in the next segment. This is the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Your favorite movies. Your episode after episode after episode season marathon. All in one beautiful little box. With Max TV Stream from Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer, you can experience the best of live TV and movies on demand, in home or on the go. Just $99. Entertainment your way, anyway. Get your Max TV Stream media box today for just $99. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Lives fully connected.
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
My name is Karen Allen. I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2007. The treatments themselves were difficult, but the care and attention that I received was phenomenal. But what if, with the advances in technology that have been made, having that better equipment would increase survival rates by 1, maybe 2%? That's people.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of The Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back to the Rod Peterson Show. Darren DuPont in with you here this week. No Rod Peterson. He'll be back next week. Duke's in the big chair on Friday. He's alongside today, along with Ryder Great, 10-year CFL vet Chris Best. And that's where I want to go here in this final segment with you, Chris, before the overtime, the Riders. I mean, with your 10 years, I mean, you were part of that team in 09, right, that finished first?
That was my first year starting. It was a ton of fun.
Yeah, that's the last time it's happened, that this team has finished in first place. Mm-hmm. Just the second time since 1976. We've talked about this probably too much, about how often it hasn't happened. Mm-hmm. I mean, since 77, this team has won more Grey Cups, three of them, than they finished in first place.
Yeah, and also 2009 was a bit of a different year. Like, we were 10-7-1 finishing first there. So obviously we were good, but the whole West was just a dogfight that year, you know? Like, so this year, obviously the Riders have kind of risen to the top in the class of the West here. So it's a little bit of a different situation. But like, these guys, I'm sure they're enjoying the week off and not having to hit anyone. The coaches are completely stressed out. They don't have no idea who to game plan for. It's hilarious to watch. And it is nice to get a week off and rest right now, especially with Cody right now. We really need this week off. Is very fortunate for us.
Well, what do you remember about 2009? Because I'm trying to think back if I remember the did you play Calgary late in the season here, and that was the deciding game to see who got first in the West, and then of course you hosted them in the West final. I just remember one of those games turned into a bit of a runaway. And was it Zarka that kept getting the ball and busting off those long runs?
Yeah, like, Zarka scored a ton of touchdowns there. Yeah, it was a good year for Zarka.
Was that the West Final, or was that the game that decided that you guys were going to host the West Final? I just remember it was basically trying to run the clock out, and he ripped off like a big 25-yard or something, and the place just about melted. The place like literally just about came down.
Yeah, we needed two when he gave us 25.
Yeah, like the run of his career. There was that one and the one in the end zone in Calgary in overtime, that long overtime game. But it was, I remember that being a distinct moment under the lights, that and just what kind of feeling that was, because I mean, you won a great cup and all those, but that had to rank right up there with one of those moments with that clinching game to get West first in the West for the first time in like a century, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Especially because it had been such a dogfight at that point. You know, like, we had fought tooth and nail. We had a big win against Edmonton in Edmonton early, late that year as well, which used to be super hard to win in Edmonton when they had Ricky Ray over there. Mm-hmm. And so, like, it was, that whole season we were building. We finally kind of, we crested the peak there and got that first overall. It was amazing. I also want to bring up one other memory from that year. Mohawks. We all did Mohawks for the playoff run there. Yeah. My Mohawk was so bad, my wife used to make me wear a hat inside the house. So it was
inside.
Inside the house. She couldn't even look at me. So that was our team bonding thing. I remember we all had Mohawks. Yep. We were all getting really excited about that year. It was, as I said, my first year starting. I have nothing but good memories about that year, except for, of course, that very end there. But it was a fun team to be a part of, a great locker room, and we just had a bunch of great guys.
To the Facebook wall, Terry asks, Bestie, what did NFA stand for in 2013, that Grey Cup? And can you even tell us?
It won't come.
Yeah, non-disclosure agreement. I can't tell you forever. That one's, take it to my grave.
Good.
I will give these guys credit. You guys have really... stuck together on that one. Mm-hmm. I know I've sat down with Xavier Fulton, guys like that. Like, there's no chance.
No.
It's just not coming out.
We all made a pact, you know. Like, it's very important. That was kind of in 2013 was a special year as well. Obviously, a super special year. And like, part of what brought us together was things like that. You know, we had our NFA crew. We all had our it was just a special year, you know. And NFA was one definite part of a very good offensive team that year.
I can guess what the F stood for, and that's all I got. That's all I got. That's the only thing
no
I
comment.
Can.
Fridge? No comment.
Yeah, fridge.
Fridge.
Yeah, exactly. Unbelievable stuff. Yeah, I mean, as they get set, a final comment for the West Final. Now, Dave Naylor nicely pointing out, and I mean, we go back and look at it, but the last 5 years, it's been the teams who host those finals that go to the Grey Cup. So this rest versus rust debate, is it a debate? Like, is there even a debate? Because right now, the rest seems to be what works.
It is for sure, because usually the healthiest team wins this time of year. Like, momentum is important. I know analytics guys don't like momentum, but I do believe that's a thing. But I mean, also the healthiest team wins, and like, it's very important right now for us to get healthy with Cody and the rest of our guys. We're all beat up right now. So it's like, momentum is important, but so is health. So if you can have more health than momentum, I guess that wins out, and that's what the stats are showing right now.
Good. And finally, who do you like this weekend in the two semis?
I think Montreal's taking it out in the East there. You know, Edmonton's kind of backing into the playoffs there. That's never a good look for them. And then I think Calgary wins. You know, I want Winnipeg to win. I think we'll have a better game against Winnipeg, but I think Calgary wins, and I think it's going to be setting up an epic showdown here on November 17th.
Oh, I can't imagine. Appreciate you coming in, bestie.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate you having me.
All right. You going to stick around for overtime, dude?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. We got overtime for Emerald Water next. A true overtime segment, because we're almost out of time, but we'll go a little bit long today for that one. It is the Rod Peterson Show here on Facebook Live, rodpeterson.com, and you can catch the podcast at all your major podcast subscribers like Apple Play Music or Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital Ford Lincoln. With savings up to $19,000. And for a limited time, finance rates are as low as 0% on new and used vehicles. Plus, most new vehicle purchases come with a free set of winter tires. And buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the Greatest Auto Sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bust down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's Greatest Auto Sale.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
It's the overtime segment, refreshed by Emerald Water. Our friends at Emerald Water enjoying. I know Paige and Chad, I think they're in Mexico too. Everybody skipped town this time of year. We're still here, though.
We still love you.
We still love you guys. Yeah. And we got our water, and we're set and ready to go. It actually, to me, the Emerald Water is that alkaline water. It's amazing. It's what makes our coffee so good.
It's a crucial part of the coffee making process.
It's key. Well, the combination of Caliber coffee and Emerald Water, it makes the best coffee.
Hey, just before we get out of here, Darren Bombing, friend of the show from Winnipeg. Chris Streveler appears able-bodied and involved in Bombers practice. But Zach Collaros is running the number one unit.
Ooh, so Zach Collaros taking first team reps. We expect him to start. I expect Zach Collaros to start.
Interesting.
Do you think there's a chance? Well, I mean, there's a chance, but do you think Chris Streveler starts in the West semi?
I don't think it really matters.
You think Calgary's
foregone conclusion?
Really?
100%.
Wow, I think they got a chance, but they need Zach Collaros to play in that football game.
So you're saying there's a chance?
Nelson on the Facebook wall says, at this point in the season, rust is an excuse. If you can't get up for a game like the West Final, you're not in the right spot as an athlete, and I agree with that. To the Prairie Mobile text line, if you want to get a last-minute comment in, it's 306-840-8777. Chad from Yorkton asks, Schooners Ownership Group has put in a query into getting the NHL's Heritage Classic game if the stadium gets built. Will this help them get a stadium in Halifax? And I think that's something, was it Drager that brought it up?
Drager, yeah.
Yeah, earlier, was it last week, when we talked about how great the Heritage Classic was, he said, yeah, that's something the NHL might look at, moving out into Atlantic Canada with this game, and it could help if the stadium comes.
I think it just shows the ownership's group interest in making this not a football field as an entertainment center, much like they've done here with the new Mosaic Stadium. This has to be more than just 10 time a year usage, and so this would just indicate more to that effect. Hey, this is an economy changing project for the area.
Rapid fire here in the overtime. Brady from Saskatoon on the Prairie Mobile text line says, what do you think of the Seahawks acquiring Josh Gordon, and what do you think that'll do to their offense? He's a big Seahawks fan. Really excited to see their offense with Gordon playing. I know he asked before about Russell Wilson and his chances at being the MVP, but Josh Gordon, is he going to make a difference?
But you've got Russell Wilson, so it doesn't matter who you surround him with. The guy is the MVP this year, in my opinion. Out of the NFC, Lamar Jackson might be quickly coming on.
No kidding.
The AFC.
He's playing well.
Oh, man.
Only got to beat Tom Brady and the Patriots. Brady also, his last one, he said he wanted to say, fun fact, Riders 8-1 at home this season. The only team to beat the Riders at home, the Stampeders. So he says that might change people's minds on who we want to see.
Early in the season.
In the West Final. You're right. Earlier on in the season. So Bo on the text line asks if the contest for the Manny Show shirt is still going on. Yes, but you got to go to Twitter, find a tweet, retweet it, and then you'll be entered in to win the Manny Show t-shirt today. Metal Shingle Guy on the Prairie Mobile text line. Strevler off the bench. 1-2 punch with Calero starting. That's his choice. I think that is what Winnipeg needs.
Yeah, well, there's many different forms. There's the Derek Myers 1-2 punch, or there's the Iron Mike Tyson 1-2 punch. You decide which that is in Winnipeg.
Yeah, the Caleros Strebler 1-2 punch. I don't know. But like Strebler is better off the
pillows.
Yeah, I know. But Winnipeg's got some interesting things. They'll be watching their practices closely to see how that plays out. But right now, Zach Calero's taking first team reps. And Chris Strevler also out with the team. So he appears to be healthy enough to go, but Zach Calero's getting the first reps, according to Darren Bauman.
And it's Mike O'Shea, and it's cloak and dagger time.
And
he'll stand there and go...
That's what Dave Naylor said. They won't confirm the sky is blue on a cloudless day.
100%. He's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy, crazy stuff. Devon Claybrook's out in BC. That's the news of the day. The latest at rodpeterson.com. And we'll have more on that, I'm sure, tomorrow and everything else going on in the Canadian Football League, the NHL as well. We did get some hockey talk in today. I wanted to get this in lastly in the NHL as we saw Toronto win, but we also saw Vancouver fall in overtime. Edmonton plays tonight. They're at home tonight. And how about this? The Pacific Division, the three playoff teams. Edmonton, Vancouver, and the Arizona Coyotes. If you ever would have thought that they would be the playoff teams, Vegas and Calgary holding down the wild cards, that's crazy. But off to a good start for teams in Canada. For the most part, Ottawa still on the outside looking in, and I don't see that situation changing anytime soon. Tomorrow on the show, the Silver Fox, Kelly Rempel, will be there. He'll be here. Our director of scouting, Craig Smith, will have our new playoff analyst in the CFL, Sean Lemon, the defensive lineman, joining us. Peter Mills from the CBC, Troy Westwood out in Winnipeg will join us, and our NFL insider, Jim Lang, will be alongside. So big show tomorrow. A lot of football tomorrow, too. So you'll want to tune in for that as we get set for the playoffs this weekend. And then on Friday, I'm out. Duke is in to host the show with John Lynch. You got to pick up Lynch, eh? Can you do that?
I'm not picking him up.
How are we going to get him here?
Uber.
Okay.
Doesn't he have Uber?
I don't know. We might have to figure that out. We'll work on that over the next 48 hours. Good evening, Norway. 7 o'clock now. So enjoy the rest of your evening. And you, Canada, enjoy your afternoon. And we'll see you tomorrow on the Rod Peterson Show at Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.